Genesis 31, verse 22 to 55. In this second discourse, I now turn to Jacob. I've glanced at Laban. And one of the things about Laban, I call him a man of the world. One of the things about Laban is that his gods can be carried about. His gods can be stolen. And he comes looking for his gods. Jacob, on the other hand, cannot carry his god. His God carries him. His God cares for him, loves him, moves him, helps him, protects him, defends him, shields him, guides him. It's a wonderful contrast. Unbeliever, you carry your God about with you. He's of your own making. You made a God of your own size that you can control. I don't know what it is, but whatever God it is, you carry him. You carry it. But the Christian, the true believer, knows that God carries him. Christ died for him. God loves him. The Spirit is in him. Everlasting life is waiting for him. It all depends on God, not upon himself. There's a sermon of mine elsewhere on sermon audio. Do you get the joke? It's a preaching of Isaiah 46, 1-4. This point is made there very powerfully in that passage, Isaiah 46, 1-4. Now we see this played out here. Laban can carry his God, his gods, and he can lose them. But here we see Jacob being led and protected and defended by God. Verse 24, for example. Laban had come after Jacob with hatred in his heart, and he had the power to kill him. Verse 24. God warned Laban, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Laban was after him. But verse 29. Laban could say, I have the power to harm you. But last night, the God of your father said to me, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. God was defending Jacob, even though Jacob knew nothing about it. This is true for all believers. The Lord is defending us and protecting us. We do not see his hand. He moves in a mysterious way, but he is working all things for his own glory. But Romans 8:28, for our good, brother and sister. Jacob can record, look at verses 38 to 42, how God has protected him and defended him against the machinations of Laban, the trials and circumstances of life. I've been working hard, I've suffered night and day, I've had to bear loss, you changed my wages 10 times, but God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked me. He rebuked you. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God. Wonderful word, but. Ephesians chapter 2. The first few verses are a terrible indictment of the fallen state of man, under the wrath of God, and so on. And then it comes with a wonderful statement, but God who is rich in mercy, but God, yes, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Jacob knows something of this. God has protected him, just like he protected the Jews in the time of Haman, in the reign of Queen Esther. Jacob is a God-fearing man, verse 42. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, and I hope I can say that he'd gone on to say he is the fear of my heart too. There is that evidence here. Verse 53. So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. It's not so clear as I would like. I can't depend upon my father, even though he may have been a very godly man. It's not my son or my daughter. It's not my wife. It's not my husband. It's me. Am I trusting in God? Is he my fear? Do I reverence and worship him? He is rash. He's not perfect. Verse 32. He makes a tremendous statement. If anybody's taken your gods, he says to Laban, then you must be put to death. He thinks so highly of his wives and children that they can do no harm. I think he overvalues and over-treasures his family. Do not misunderstand me. As a husband, I must love my wife. As a wife, she must love her husband, yes. And we must love our children. Of course we do, yes. But I have seen parents who think the sun shines out of their children, for example, and everything must center upon them, and all must run round them. Be careful of it. There is a warning here. Jacob thinks so highly of his children, he can't imagine that any one of them might have done this mischief, committed this sin. Rachel, you see, is a cheat still. She's a stealer. She's a liar. She lies to her father. I'm having my period. I can't stand up, so please. But she's hiding the idols, the gods under her saddle there, her seat. But nevertheless, Jacob, for all his faults, still stands up for what is right. God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands. And last night he rebuked you, verse 42. He has done good in his generation. Hebrews 13:8 tells us to be like that. Psalm 34, verse 14. Seek peace and pursue it. And Jacob is of that mind. He's eagerly entreated, and he's eager to be entreated. In verse 45, Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. It was he who was moving in response to Laban, so easily entreated when Laban makes his offer of mercy. Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, says Laban. Verse 45, so Jacob responded eagerly, and well, be a peacemaker, do good. Do you know the best commentary on this passage? It's Psalm 37. God looks after his own, he cares for his own. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, delight yourself in him. Rest in the Lord. Have a good conscience. Wait on the Lord. He will bring it to pass. Psalm 37 is the best commentary on this passage. Jacob is not perfect. I don't want to give that impression. Not at all. But I see marks and evidences of grace in him, of spirituality in him. Of course, coming into the days of the new covenant, all this is heightened. I want to live before the world as a believer, that men may have to confess that God is in me of a truth. I want to wait upon the Lord, trust in his providence, look to him, work for him, serve him, be faithful to him. I don't want to overvalue men. I want to put God first. I want to be easily entreated and eager to do good in my generation. This is the man of God. Unbeliever, I say again, can you carry your God? Are you carrying your God about? Well, I have no God, then that's your God. Your mind, yourself, is your God. Why not come to Christ? Why not cast yourself upon him? Why not know that God Almighty God, the Lord Almighty himself, the great Creator, the great Judge, the great Sovereign God is your God? And underneath, then, are the everlasting arms. So that's what I see briefly in this showdown with Laban and Jacob. I've seen something from Laban, and now I've tried to see something in the life of Jacob. There are two men here. Which man are you? The man of the world? Woman of the world? The man or woman of God? Which is it? Which is it?